And so just like any other team that you put together, you know, when you get a good group of guys working together, we like to try to keep them together. Sometimes other needs come up that force them to perhaps move on to another facility if there's some certain education needs or what have you. But for the most part, we try to keep them together. And they report to work every day and put in 40 hours a week like most of us do. And one last reminder that Measure 17 that was passed by the voters several years ago mandates that inmates are required to either work and or program, meaning school and such, 40 hours a week, just like we do. So we need to keep these guys busy, and we have limited opportunities.
And has the Corrections Department done any follow-up on recidivism of people who've been in the work release program or the work program and versus those who haven't?
I cannot answer that question. I'm not certain. I don't think specifically we've done studies on recidivism, but I don't think specifically tied into those work.
That would be interesting. And then I have two questions for one for Arlene, and that is, where do they work? Which particular, is there a designation of which parks are appropriate and which ones are not?
Really, it's across the entire system. You know, potentially can be sites for this, and you know, and leaf pickup. The leaf pickup tends to be occurring in our developed parks. So, in the larger parks with lots of trees, storm cleanup would be where the needs are the greatest. If there are concerns, or in some cases, if schools expressed a concern about it being nearby, then we wouldn't use it in those areas.
And are the teams identified as prisoners? Do they wear particular uniforms that would make it clear that they're prison workers rather than Portland Parks employees?
Yes, it's quite clear that it says on the uniforms, inmates.
Big orange stamp on the back that says inmate.
Right. There's a DOC van and a guard who's in a uniform as well with all of the crews. And the rules of conduct are quite specific, and there's really almost no interaction between staff other than for the purposes of getting people oriented and trained.
Thank you. So, and then my last question is, did you consider just extending this contract for 1 year? Because I know you're having a lot of discussions on various labor issues, and I agree with Commissioner Fisher's first statement, which is that we need adequate ongoing funding for parks. So was there any thought given to doing it for 1 year rather than two?
Well, we can't do more than two with the state. That's the maximum. What we find is it rolls around so fast. So we could do a year's worth of the contract for a year. I understand the state's on a biennium kind of an approach, so that's probably why they work on a two-year contract limitation. Our concern would just be that we'd get to the end of that process and not be prepared to put anything else into place.
Well, I'd also just like to point out that our contracts have a termination clause, which allow us to terminate contracts before the end of the term. The term is simply aspirational.
Yeah.
We're not in breach if we declare we want to terminate the agreement. If I could ask one last question, just in keeping with your line of questions. Eileen, have we received any formal complaints from the public about this program relating to the individuals that provide the services?
We have not had any complaints from the public.
So I have one observation I'd be very interested in that. In particular from corrections, your reaction to. From the time I served in the legislature till now, I found myself in a place where in as a member of the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety, where I had a lot of interaction with your department, always positive, including touring various prisons throughout the state, learning a lot about the various programs. The conclusion I have reached with programs like this is they are too restrictive as to which inmates can participate. For example, you said you exclude people who commit arson. Well, I would suggest that at some point, just as you made the point about the DUI person or the drug offender person, that person as well will be released into society. I'd much prefer to have them in a program like this, supervised, so we could watch how they interacted, than I would have them serve out their time and then kick them out and they end up wherever they want to end up with absolutely no supervision. I think one of the major failures of our society is the stigmatization and the demonization of convicted offenders on a variety of levels. I would defer to my good friend, who's now State Senator Chip Shields, who's much more eloquent on the subject than I am, but I think it's a major failure not to wade into the labor issues one way or the other, but once we've established those who are allowed to participate, I would be interested in why we don't expand it to include others, particularly because they are supervised by law enforcement officials or corrections officials, and I don't quite get that. So maybe you can help me with that.
Well, and I really do appreciate your comments, and I in some ways very supportive of what you say. And I think in my experience with the Department of Corrections, I've been with them for 13 years now, and I believe we have expanded that. But as an example, for, the arsonists, it doesn't mean they're not working, and it doesn't mean that, that we're not teaching them and mentoring them as we go along. They may just have a job inside in the shop.
Okay.
And, you know, we're very sensitive to the community's needs and wants also. So, of course, the last thing we want is someone, you know, sparking a fire with the equipment out in the public and that.
Having them not at a work crew doesn't prevent that from happening when they get released from prison.
You're absolutely.
I'd rather have somebody there watching them.
Yeah,
I do that, and then maybe up their sentence in a few years.
If I could, I've heard actually three terrific suggestions in this discussion. One is that we take a look at what is the pool that is tapped for these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're raising a larger question of how they're screened and who's eligible, and that's a question that I share your interest in that area. Number two is a question of why do we limit this to one facility, which happens to be all male, and not provide alternative options for women. I think mm-hmm. that's an excellent question. And the third has to do with tracking the people who are part of this program. And I'm interested in tracking for two reasons. One is so that we can document to the public that there is a benefit beyond people just doing jobs that most people don't want to do, like cleaning up a homeless encampment, which is not a job that our workforce wants to do. But it's not just providing that benefit, but actually giving people the discipline and the habits of work, which allow them to then get jobs when they are released. But in addition, I'm interested in tracking to see whether there are success stories that we can have in the future about people who participate in these programs who become full-time employees of the Bureau, because I think that should mm-hmm. be. In addition, our reciprocal obligation is to see if once we've identified people with good work habits who play by the rules, can we give them a break mm-hmm. and a fresh start when they get out? So I very much appreciate the comments of my colleagues, and they've prompted me as the commissioner in charge to want to pursue all three of those questions.
Good. Thank you.
This is an application. The request before council is to renew existing agreements. I just want to make that clear, and I think we have some testimony before we get a chance to vote on this. Thank you all.
Thank you.
We have eight people signed up. First three, please come on up. Lori King, Doug Nolan, and Chris Daly. Please come on up.
Let me comment. Lori King had an emergency and had to leave. She's going to email her comments to the council. Her concerns were about the...
Richard, I can't have you testify from the chairs out there. If you want to come testify, I would welcome that. Come on up, come on up. I'm just going to need you to come up. Come on up. Who else?
Richard, you're being so shy. What's that about?
They'll be followed by, let's see, Doug Nolan or Chris. Okay. Is Chris Daly here? They may have left.
And
okay.
Who else?
Let's go with John Ross.
Yes.
John Ross.
Come on up. And how about Bill Failing?
He's signed up on the wrong list.
He was on another list.
Okay. Ted, come on up.
Well, Ted, why don't you take a front row seat there? We'll get you next. Is that it?
Okay. Good.
Is that it, Carla? Okay, great. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. Richard, why don't you begin?
Well, I was hoping that they could begin. And
okay. Well, sir, would you like to begin?
Okay. Sure. My name is Doug Nolan, and I live in Southeast Portland, and I'm unemployed. I hereby request that the City of Portland cease using prison labor and make this work available to unemployed people such as myself. This is an economic crisis. There are quite a few of us out there. I think Commissioner Fish mentioned that we should reward those who played by the rules. I'd like to posit that I've played by the rules pretty steadily through my entire life. I have no criminal career whatsoever, a record of any sort. I do have a four-year college degree. From the University of Oregon. I have a great work record, good references. I have a really good work ethic. Please hire me. I'm more than willing to do this work. I believe Eileen Argentine mentioned that some of the work was leaf pickup, storm damage, gravel and bark spreading, ditch digging. More than happy to do any of that. I will do a darn good job. To that point, I actually brought a resume. I'm hoping I can hand this to somebody to get to you. My contact information is at the top. It is current. Please feel free to call me anytime, day or night. I don't know who to hand this to.
You could hand it to me,
okay.
Because if you would agree to get rid of that lower portion of your facial hair, then you could wear an SCBA mask, which would mean you would qualify to be a Portland firefighter. We're having exams beginning this January. You strike me as a person that would excel in that profession. So if you want more information about that opportunity, which is coming up real soon, talk to me after session.
I will definitely do that.
Okay. Do heights bother you?
Not at all. I actually mountain climb for fun.
Well, they bother me, and I was a firefighter, so
okay.
There you go.
I was going to just say, you know, if it is the case that I need to go to prison to get a job, please let me know so I can change my game plan. I've been playing it. I've been doing everything right, as far as I can tell, throughout my entire life.
Well, if you're perfect, you can't be a firefighter, so hopefully you've done something wrong.
Okay. Anyway, and so that's it. I'm really asking for a job. This is an honest request, and if you had offer me a job, I will take it.
Sounds like you've got a pretty good track there. Thanks for your testimony. Really
thank you
appreciate
very much.
It. Sir?
Yes. Well, my name is John Ross, and I'm with the Jobs with Justice Group, the Economic Crisis Committee. And our primary concern of regarding this particular renewal of this contract is we feel is exploitative. We believe that you're not treating the prisoners justly, nor are you treating the unionized workers justly by taking their work away from them and giving it to others who do want it to have the union backing. And we think we deserve something better from our elected representatives in this matter. We want to see an end to the to the using prison labor in our parks in our city. And we feel there may be, we hope not, but there may be some narrow financial interest that benefits from the convict labor. Certainly, the city should not be one of these interests. We do not know how this decision was made and to exploit people in this way. Every policy decision must have an element of decency attached to it, such as when you backed the a single-payer resolution just recently for health care in the nation and also in the community here. This, although you may have the right to make this decision, we believe you should not abuse your authority in any way regarding this matter, and we do believe that exploitative kind of policies are not in keeping with our traditions and our culture and our civilization or our democracy. And as political figures, you do have enough integrity to know what is required of you and what is forbidden. But when this comes forward in this particular issue, we become aware of it. We are believe that some decision should be turned over to the democratic process so that it can be considered and possibly and more correctly rejected. We do not give you many options here, nor do we intend to do so. The roadmap should be clear to you, and we ask that only that you, restore these jobs to union workers at union wages, and who those are the people who also pay taxes and remain sovereign within our citizenry, just as we do. But a continuation of this process in place of union workers in these serious economic times, I think, is unacceptable. So we urge you to join us to reject this policy and if using convict labor as you establish your priorities, please do so and do not revisit this policy again. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Mr. Thank Beadle?
You. Okay, did you want to testify?
Go ahead, Richard, you're up there.
I will, all right. Well, Mayor, Council, my name is Richard Beadle. I think that most of the Council knows me as Buzz. And I'd like to, first of all, show you a letter that I got from Parks, and this kind of tells you what my feelings about the use of these crews are. It starts off with a letterhead that says, Portland Parks and Recreation, Healthy Parks, a Healthy Portland, and then goes to describe the use of prison labor in our parks. And I think it's really embarrassing that we have to reduce ourselves to this level to provide services. But having said that, I do appreciate the council's support for pulling the prison labor issue from the council agenda and to allowing Laborers 483 a chance to address this issue. And I did address this issue. I addressed it with Commissioner Fish, and I addressed it with Lisa Turple out of Parks and Recreation. While we obviously don't agree on the use of these crews, I do appreciate the changes that both the commissioner and Lisa have agreed to make in this ordinance to address the most pressing concerns of my local. One is to discuss the safest use of these crews, such as taking them out of the neighborhood parks and limiting their use to more remote, undeveloped wilderness areas, such as Forest Park. And the second concern that we had that has been addressed by Parks is to hold serious discussions about how we can find ways to minimize the need to use these crews in the future. I want a future for Parks that does not depend on the use of these type of crews. Unfortunately, the use of prison crews is only a symptom of a much more serious problem that we're facing in Parks. In 2002, on the recreation side, Parks had 112 union employees working alongside and supervising 800 temporary, non-union, mainly low-wage workers. Today in recreation, we have 92 unionized workers working alongside and supervising 1,500 non-represented low-wage workers. We're clearly heading in the wrong direction in this bureau. The statistics on this bureau are appalling. 86.5% of the employees working in parks are non-union and mainly low-wage. 64.1% of the payroll going out of parks is non-union, low-wage. This is not including the supervisory staff. We've excluded them. The parks workforce has grown by 36.7%, while my membership in parks has remained static. Parks hiring practices has affected the whole city. Over the last 8 years, the density in the city has dropped from 54% union down to 49% union, and it's mainly due to two reasons. One of the reasons is that we've had a reduction in the police bureau of 9%, and they're 90% union. But the second reason is because we've had a growth of 36.7% in hiring in parks, and our union participation has slipped below 15%. The use of this low road is really false savings, because these low-wage workers end up on the same social programs that are being stretched so thin by our high unemployment numbers in Oregon. This cost shift is really unacceptable and unsustainable. We need to reorganize parks, and we need to find a new way of funding this valuable public service. Local 483 is willing to help in this reorganization, and we're willing to help search for some new money. While I fully understand that this can't be accomplished overnight, that doesn't excuse my local, our parks, or the commissioners, or the council, or the mayor from their obligation on trying to find some progress to be made in finding a higher road for parks' future. Thank you.
Richard, if I could just say one thing, because I want to thank you for the discussion we've had. I want to thank Local 43 for the partnership with my bureau. And I also want to acknowledge that while we're here talking about correctional facilities and their workers, you've raised a question about the contingent workforce that's non-union.
Right.
That includes, for example, the lifeguards that we hire seasonally who are not members of a union. That includes people who work and are assigned from Brooks Staffing, and you, at your request, we have actually agreed to tackle that problem, and we've done something I think is unprecedented. We've given it to the Labor Management Committee for guidance. Mm-hmm. And you and I will continue to find ways to not only protect the integrity of the existing bargaining unit work, but find ways to expand it when we have sunnier days. But I also appreciate the fact that you and I share a frustration, which is there's simply not enough dollars in the system to get to where we both want to go. And finally, I want to say that I also appreciate the leadership that you've demonstrated around advocating for a better place to work for members of Local 43. And in that regard, you have a united council that has said, should there be a capital bond measure down the road, a portion of that money will go to construct a new work environment in Mount Tabor for the dedicated professionals that you represent. So I want to thank you for your advocacy and the role that you play in our Bureau.
And I think that's a really important thing to do, is that we've had a really good public process around our Mount Tabor yard issue. We took a neighborhood that was fairly contentious toward our goals and turned them into some of our biggest supporters because of the process that was used by Portland Parks. We don't want to frustrate it by not following through. And so that's an important point. I'm glad you made that. But at the same time I say that, I want to make it clear that I'm not blaming this on Commissioner Fish or his office on the work model that's been used in parks. This whole thing is bigger than just one commissioner. It's going to take all the council working together, because we need to be down in Salem looking for tax justice, because that's what part of the issue here is tax justice.
So thank you for your time. In your list, I think you failed to mention that we, on the seasonal part-time workers, mm-hmm. providing insurance.
And we've done that.
And union representation.
That's right.
Wanted to make sure that that got onto the list of one positive union management issue over the years. Thank you.
And we've made some progress.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. We worked hard on that. Sir?
Yes. My main concern is the backward trend to use prison labor. I have been in the criminal justice system, and I've worked on work crews. It's almost to the point where within the system, we joke with the guards that this is an employment scheme for corrections officials. The work that we did wasn't what I would call job training. That field is way oversaturated. But my main concern is laying off people in good-paying jobs and giving those jobs to prisoners as some kind of an economic benefit for the community. Because from my standpoint, what will wind up happening is you will have people that were formerly working in the parks to support a family
3 years ago.
Being displaced by prison labor, and then those people themselves, some of them will wind up in the criminal justice system working in the same parks, but now for free. That's not a good savings. That's going in the direction that Texas goes in solving prison problems by reinventing slavery mm-hmm. through a conviction. And I'm not sure how much of that is this issue. Retraining people is a great idea. I don't think this type of thing leads to anyone winding up working for the Parks Department. So it's more of a job opportunity for corrections than it is for prisoners. And I hate to see people lose their jobs to create more employment in the corrections departments. Thanks.
Thank you all very much for your testimony. Unless there is anyone else that wishes to... Oh, Veronica? Yeah. Go ahead and come up. Thank you, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and take a seat, Veronica.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Good morning, Mayor Sam Adams.
Hi.
And Commissioner Amanda Fritz and Commissioner Randy Lenners and Commissioner Dan Salzman and, of course, Commissioner Nick Fish.
Hi.
You gave the best party so far this month.
He gave the best what?
Parties.
So now you're partying at Nick's house?
Well, no. That wasn't what I meant to say.
I mean, I thought it was my office.
Last year you came to.
Last year you had it all.
Nick Fish seems to have a little more together of the party the first
time. Veronica, stop right there. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Certainly did. Now on to the Park and Rec Department. That's a party place.
Betrayed by you too, Nick? That's just too much.
Your factionalism.
You too.
Anyway, it's good to see you, Mayor Adams. You're looking well. I'm glad to see that everybody's surviving this cold snap and the showers. On to bigger and better projects. I am in support halfway with the measure here, about 50% and 50%. It's always going to be evenly divided whenever you use sheriff's works crews for park and rec or anything like that. I come from a long line of people involved in the criminal justice system, however, my dealings were with 850 Bryant in San Francisco, and that would be the OR bail bond project. Now, as this relates to that, that was a way to get people out of jail. What you're trying to do here is really keep them employed gainfully, and I'm all in support of that except for just two things. One is chemical dependency, and the other is elopement. Chemical dependency does not leave the body of a person, even though they do come into jail. I've worked in the field for 2 years as a nurse, I know. You can still get some overlay with LSD or methamphetamine or drugs and alcohol. Even 2 weeks down the line, you can have a flip-flop, and the behavior changes, and somebody might run for it. We don't want to see that happen, obviously. So you have legal restraints like the sheriff's deputies watching the work crews. And then the second thing is that the pattern of thinking, you know, behind that, they want to do a good job, and that's good. You got physical guys in prison really are buffed out. There's more, I think there's more machines that are weightlifting in prison and jails than there are on the outside sometimes. They do keep themselves well-trimmed, and a lot of muscle is good, and putting that to work is a good thing. I'm for the Protestant work ethic, and I think that's important. Just remember, keep it on an even keel. You have to watch all the time with these guys, so that's important. But I do support the work efforts. It's important, and it's good for mood building, you know, in jail to get out and work a little bit. So good. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Halloween. Thank you, Veronica. All right, unless there's additional council discussion or testimony, Carla, can you please call the vote, starting with item 1517?
Leonard?
Well, as I alluded to in an earlier discussion on a different topic, sometimes I'm listening to debates, and I put it in a broader historical perspective. And I just remember back when I represented firefighters in the 80s, late 80s and early 90s, I had one vote, Mike Lindbergh. And as I've said to many people many times, three is a magic number around here. And you get to three and you get to pass things. And only since Sam's arrival on the council in January of 2005 have we had consistently three votes to help labor. And not so much to help labor, but what I would characterize as doing the right thing consistently. So Sam pointed out a couple of issues that I'd actually forgot about. At the behest of Buzz, We jumped right in the middle of BHR and made sure temporary workers were unionized and got health insurance. Never happened before. We intercede in collective bargaining agreements at a level that's never happened before. I'll tell you what, if I was still the president of the firefighters, and for a number of reasons I could well be, to have a commissioner in charge that I would go to talk to about these issues, such as Nick Fish, would have made me felt like I had died and gone to heaven, because I have the perspective of going into people's offices who, just to make a point, would make me sit out front for 90 minutes and then come in only to tell me no. And is there anything else I can do to help you today, Mr. Leonard? And that was the atmosphere of the 80s and the 90s for every union elected official. It was horrible. I let a picket around City Hall. I have pictures in my office of me standing up on the guardrail out here leading hundreds of firefighters protesting City Hall. City Council had the nerve to give themselves a 4% raise, and every other union person in the city, they wanted to take 0% raise. Can you imagine that happening now? Can't even imagine that happening. So that's a long way of saying I'm disappointed in some of what I heard here today. Labor is my friends. I'm your advocate. But I think we have to work together. I think you find a middle ground. You take what you can get, and then you give some, and that's how partnerships and relationships work best. And on a variety of levels, I'm working with even other unionized workforces in this city to try to get them to be a little more holistic in their perspective and what we're doing, and recognize you have a labor-friendly council. If you don't get all of what you want, that doesn't make us bad guys. It means we have broader responsibilities. And certainly, when I had the luxury of advocating for firefighters, I don't think I appreciated that I had one position I needed to advocate and one set of constituencies that I needed to advocate for. And it would be greatly appreciated by me from my friends in the labor community if they understand I'm no longer in that role. I have, not only have to balance those interests for the people I still believe in viscerally and I will still fight for and I will still come to any meeting you ask me to come to, but I have to think about mentally ill folks as well, people with drug and alcohol addictions, treatment programs, and yes, people who get released from prison. How best do you do that, and what is the wisest way? I frankly found some of the comments offensive about exploiting prison labor. You've clearly spent no time interacting with the various advocacy groups for prisoners. It's not exploiting prison labor. Believe me, they are very happy to be out doing something outside rather than stuck in a cell, watching Oprah. That is not fun, in spite of what everybody thinks. They want to be out there. They compete to be out there. It helps them find a new balance for their life. And somewhere in there, we have to find labor's interest and make sure we protect that, and we're protecting jobs, good-paying jobs. But somewhere in there, we have a broader responsibility to the community, which, yes, includes people convicted of crimes, and making sure that we treat them fairly as well. So that's my long way of saying that I greatly appreciate Commissioner Fish's ongoing attempt to find that balance. And I think that in spite of some of what we heard here today, he has. And I commend him for it and am proud to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, we need ongoing adequate funding for parks, and I think we all agree on that. And I'm committed to helping in any way I can with that discussion to see how that might happen. I appreciate the direction over the past several years to fund new improvements and constructions with bond measures and to find money in the general fund for ongoing services. However, we haven't got enough money in the general fund for ongoing services for parks. I also want to stress that we value city employees who provide services to the city of Portland, and then that is the structure that I would like to support, that we have ongoing workers who love their jobs. I visited with Laborers 483 and was blown away with the folks. This was during the cuts, and people talking about their jobs sweeping leaves and doing street sweeping and cutting blackberries, and how they were saying that they might get moved to a different task, this one fella. And he said he was happy to do whatever task the city wanted him to do, but you could just tell that the particular task he's been doing was something that was very, very important to him and that he took a lot of pride in doing that job. So I appreciate city employees who, whatever the task is, take it with all of their heart and do their very best job and give the service to the citizens. And I know that my colleagues on the council appreciate that too. Measure 17 did require prisoners who are citizens to work. And that's something we have to remember. But Mr. Nolan made a good point, too, that those prisoners have a roof over their head. And in this current climate, there are a lot of people who would like to work and who are at risk for losing their homes if they can't find a job. So as Commissioner Leonard said, it is a very complex question and set of problems. I think this has been a very healthy discussion this morning. Mr. Beadle, if you could send me your comments, I'd really like to look over those statistics again and have, because I think that has implications, again, for our budget next year. But mostly, Commissioner Fish, I am very impressed with your willingness to keep going back to asking difficult questions and to considering different options, and to your comment that this is a two-year project, but a contract, but we don't have to do it that much. You said you're going to look at the Brooks, you are looking at the Brooks contract, and as Mayor Adams reminded me, you've been assigned the issue of the minority and women businesses. So you have quite the tasks on your list of things to do, and you're doing them all well and working harder than many people could possibly imagine. So thank you for your leadership on this and other topics, and thank you for this discussion. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues for their very generous comments, and I want to just say that I, too, am very proud to be part of a council that is passionately united around the notion of the dignity of work and of the importance of providing family wage jobs to people in our community. And I have seen in my year and a quarter on this body no evidence to the contrary. We are united in that, and that is at the heart of the mayor's economic development strategy. It's at the heart of how we treat our workforce every day. It's at the heart of how we view healthcare as an issue, and in everything we do. So I take great pride in being on a body that puts that ethic front and center. The issue before us is the renewal of two agreements for which we've had some experience. And as has already been stated, we've learned that under these agreements, people who are incarcerated get meaningful work experience. A thing that I can't answer because I'm so new in this assignment is, have we gone one step further to track whether those people have actually found jobs in gainful employment once they were released to society? And I think that's a pilot project that our bureau and other bureaus ought to look at, not by way of giving a preference, but at least by way of saying, if this is a relevant work credential that you've been working in some capacity for the city and the citizens, then you ought to have a chance to compete fairly for a job when you get out. Because as Commissioner Leonard noted, And I know from some of my past public service, the biggest scandal in this country is how we treat people once they're released from jail. Because for most people, it's a dead end. And the reason we have a high rate of recidivism is that we just don't do a very good job transitioning people into society, into meaningful jobs. So, Buzz, I want to say to you that I appreciate the fact that we've had a very constructive dialogue. I'm told, and I'll just tell you what I'm told, I think you've told me is maybe accurate, and it's through nothing I've done, so I'm not taking credit for this, but I understand that the Labor Management Committee structure at Parks is among the highest functioning in the city. And I've heard that not just from your members, but from AFSCME members who've said that it really is a dynamic process. And that's why I had the confidence to take the Brooks staffing issue and present it to the LMC and say, guide us as to how we should deal with this issue. And I think that is virtually unprecedented on an issue of contract significance of that kind. But beyond that, we appreciate the relationship we have with you. And as Randy noted, any mature relationship, whether it's in our personal lives or our professional lives, involves give and take. And you have fought hard for your members' interests, and you've done a very good job. And on this one, your advocacy has led to these agreements being modified substantially to meet some of the issues that you've raised and that we agree with. And as we continue to look at this issue and monitor these contracts, you'll continue to be at the table with us, keeping faith with the issues and values that you've set out at the beginning. So thanks for doing a good job and for being a good partner. And finally, I just want to say to Lisa Turple and Eileen Argentina, you know, you do the hard work. So thank you for the ongoing commitment to a constructive dialogue with our most important resource, which is our employees, and for helping us get to this point. And to my colleagues, again, I thank you for your gracious and kind comments. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, I'm going to support both these measures because I've seen nor heard any evidence that these contracts supplant union jobs that were cut. So this is a continuation of existing practices and level of effort. If it was increased efforts, I think you could make a sort of a raw argument that it was moving in that direction, but I don't see any evidence that that be the case. I also believe that providing constructive tasks for those that are incarcerated is part of our opportunity as city commissioners, if not our responsibility. I also appreciate the fact that, as already has been mentioned, that Commissioner Fish is constantly had his ears and eyes open and has been willing to modify and improve the approach of this endeavor, and I thank you for that. And finally, it's, you know, important to give credit where credit's due, and we worked really hard. I voted no. I was one of a few votes no on earlier contracts that led to the part-time employees getting health care and union representation. And the only other word that's significant there is seasonal part-time. And that was the only one of its kind that we could find in the nation. Just to underscore Commissioner Leonard's points. Hey, criticize us where we deserve it, but I think give us the points when we deserve them as well. So I'm pleased to vote aye. 1517 is approved. Can you please read item number 1518?
Roll call.
Sorry, roll call.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1518 is approved. We are in recess till 2 p.m. That was a long.